Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Work With Purpose, a podcast about the Australian Public Service. My name is David Pembroke. Thanks for joining me. Today, we explore a topic that has recently caught my eye. But before we do that, I would like to pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which we broadcast today, the Ngunnawal people, and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognise the ongoing contribution they make to the life of this city and region. And I'd also like to pay my respects to all First Nations people who may be listening, and indeed recognise the custodians of the lands on which anyone who may be listening to this podcast today as well. So while many listeners to today's program will be familiar with the term whole of government and its understanding and meaning, it's another phrase, whole of nation, that has recently caught my attention, both for what it means, but indeed, what is it and how it can be achieved. Now, in my research, I found that it has been used elsewhere for quite some time in the Philippines and Singapore, but not so much here in Australia. But the recent Defence Strategic Review makes mention of the phrase, as does Australia's international development policy. Now, a new report of the Asia-Pacific Development Diplomacy and Defence Dialogue explains that the whole-of-nation approach takes us beyond whole-of-government and recognises that there is a role for everyone in the Australian government, be it in business and investment, science and technology, education, sports, culture, media, and civil society. So to discuss this topic, I'm joined by Melissa Conley-Tyler, who is the Executive Director of AP4D, which is the Asia-Pacific Development, Diplomacy, and Defence Dialogue. She is an Honorary Fellow at the University of Melbourne, and for 13 years she served as the National Executive Director of the Australian Institute of International Affairs. Melissa has extensive experience establishing and sustaining Australia-Asia engagement through Track 2 dialogues involving government officials, academics, media, and business. Melissa, welcome to Work With Purpose.
Thank you, David.
Now listen, language matters, descriptions matter, and this phrase is really, obviously matters in the national dialogue. Now, you obviously believe it matters because you've produced a substantial report where you spoke to 113 individuals from 93 organisations. What did you find?
Well, as you say, I think it matters when I find people are talking about it. So when we have the Prime Minister at the Shangri-La Dialogue, when we have the Foreign Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Minister for International Development, all using these words. And as you say, when we see it in the International Development Policy, the Defence Strategic Review, the Cyber Strategy, the Southeast Asia Economic Strategy, you say, okay, whole of nation is apparently part of the zeitgeist. People are using it. My question is, what do they mean? And what does the rest of the nation think of it? So we went out and we talked to organisations that you might think of as being, you know, internationally engaged, but not core international policy actors. Okay. And when I'm talking about core international policy actors, I mean people whose mission focuses on international policy. They know they do it, whether it's DFAT or defence or development sector, parts of the national intelligence community, Austrade, etc. But then if you think about the rest of the country and what it, you know, all of the different overlapping, interesting groups that are out there, often they're very internationally engaged. So if you're talking, you know, business investment, or you're talking science and technology, you're talking knowledge and education, civil society, community, media, sports, arts, you know, they are all constantly connecting with the rest of the world. They have international engagement a part of what they do. And we started to talk to them about, you know, do you see yourself as part of this whole of nation approach? It's interesting, of course, that for some of these institutions or groups, they've been working at this longer than the Commonwealth government. So if you talk to state and territory governments, they say, we were doing this for before Federation. If you talk to First Nations community, they say, well, we've been doing international engagement forever, time immemorial. So for me, it was fascinating to talk to all of them and get a sense of what they thought whole of nation might mean and why they thought it was becoming part of contemporary debate.
And where did you land? What is the consensus around what is a whole of nation approach?
Well, I think the consensus is that it is a big aspiration, but it is an important one. That if as we all think we are in this difficult, contested world facing many problems, whether they're geopolitical problems or climate issues. If we live in this time of polycrisis, of cascading challenges, these are all problems that are so big that a country like Australia can only have any real impact if it uses all the tools at its disposal. And that means not just those core international policy actors, but all of those linkages and connections and networks that the other parts of society can bring us. It was interesting talking to people about how they saw Whole of Nation. A lot of people saw it as a real necessity, as I say, that, you know, we have to have it. Some saw it as an opportunity, saying, well, we can make our foreign policy better. You know, if we involve our diaspora communities, if we really understand the magic that is modern Australia, we can do a better job of connecting with the world. Mm. But overall, I think it was a very strong sense of the benefits, as you were asking, of what comes through a whole of nation approach, that we can be more effective because we're harnessing the knowledge and skill sets of the entire country. That means we have more influence. We can streamline and be more efficient. And in particular, if you think of it from the perspective of the rest of the world, the more the different parts of Australia work together in the same direction, in a whole of nation approach, then we're a more consistent, predictable and reliable actor. So a lot of positives came through. There were negatives, and I will talk about those. But out of those 113 people we spoke to, not one said, no, let's not do this. Let's work at cross purposes. Let's waste time and money. Let's undermine each other. Everyone agrees that whole of nation is a great idea. It then becomes a question of how do you do it?
So we will come to the negatives or perhaps the challenges in a moment. But how to then make this meaningful? Because it sounds like most everyone, heads are nodding, everyone agrees, everyone moves in this direction. But how do we take it from a noble concept to an actual tool of diplomacy and progress for the Australian people?
Mm-hmm. Well, what came through in the paper is that there are things that you can do pretty much anywhere you are in the system. Now, obviously, if you're a minister, you're going to have more ability to change things. But wherever you are, you can ask yourself questions when you're developing or implementing policy. You can say, okay, who's in the room? Who should be in the room? Are there people outside government I should be talking to? This thing I'm trying to achieve, what are the tools that I have at my disposal? What are the right levers? Who are the right actors? And again, those might not always be government. And thinking outside the Canberra world, you know, saying, okay, what about the states and territories? What about the public? What about the, you know, civil society? And thinking in that sense, you know, how do I in the long term, you know, concertedly make an effort to achieve whole of nation buy-in? And how, I suppose, in terms of my own capability, how can I develop my ability to engage with external expertise? If I'm mostly used to working in, you know, in government, in a whole of government way, how do I expand my horizons and work out how I do connect with business and sport and media and arts and all of these other actors that we're talking about?
Mm. So your report, which I've read, and it is compelling reading, and we will put a link to it in the show notes. So if people haven't got to it yet, they could take some time to do so. But structurally, though, I like this idea of up and out, where people are thinking more broadly and about where their place is and what they're trying to do. But does it sort of call for a more serious centralized approach from government to really run some sort of process that educates people about the benefits of a whole of nation approach and where they may sit inside that whole of a nation approach so it can deliver some of the benefits that you outlined earlier?
Well, I think so. And I think one of the things that came through the consultations was that sense of wanting to be more engaged. You know, there was quite a lot of enthusiasm, even from people I'd thought would be negative, saying no, we can only work on the profit motive. That they want to know what national objectives are. They want to know how they might fit within it. So in the paper we talk about, it was AP4D, we would have a 4S approach, but we talk about it as strategy, structure, staff, and society. You know, that ideally you have a clear strategy that gives a narrative, gives a direction, and it means that all those other elements, whether they're within government or outside of government, can help align behind that. They know what we're trying to achieve. You know, so let's say our big strategy is around, you know, better relations with the Pacific or Southeast Asia. You know, having a clear idea of what it is we're trying to achieve. Now, then you do need structures that enable coordination, and we've done a lot of those across whole of government. You need staff who can actually engage across those boundaries, who can talk different cultures. And then at that society level, we're saying expanding that beyond being able to work with, you know, other government officials and moving into how do we consistently engage with the whole of society. And as I was saying, I think that does take a different skill set. It also takes a bit of permissions. You know, I've known people who felt that they genuinely didn't have permission from their seniors to go and talk to anyone outside government. And I think that needs to change too, understanding that if you're going to get buy-in for policy, you need to be able to, you know, to pick up the phone and talk to the people in science and tech or in industry and find out what they're doing and understand how the efforts you have can whatever verb you want, leverage those, harness those, build off those, you know, get the benefit of the things that are already happening across a number of other actors.
What then do you see as the risks then of it just becoming, you know, a meaningless phrase, words on a page, easy to express, but really, you know, there's no weight behind it, there's no substance behind it, and really it is just a throwaway line as much as anything?
Well, I think that's part of why we did the paper, David. You know, a worry that it could be it's nice that politicians are using these phrases and are talking about whole of nation. I think that's a great way to think about our aspirations if we want to have a global leadership role. But it can sound very easy. It can sound like, yeah, let's just do that. Whereas, of course, we know, as we've seen from our whole of government, it's actually very hard. It takes more resources, more effort, and more learning and capability on people's for people to be able to coordinate. We are built in systems which have silos, and often that's for very good reason. You know, DFAT, for example, has been extremely well designed to talk to the outside world. It has not been designed to talk to the Australian domestic public. So, you know, that's a new skill it has to work on. And I'd say the same for something like defence, where, you know, enormous cohesion as an organisation, but not always easy to speak outside the organisation. So, I mean, those are the barriers. That's why it's difficult. And I think putting some seriousness into the discussion of it, saying it's not just a motherhood statement, it's a thing we can and should aim for, we will probably never completely achieve, but having that aspiration helps us do better at coordinating the resources we have so that we can have more effect on these huge global problems.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you do see whole of nation reactions and responses, you do see that unity. And again, you know, draw on a recent example, the Matildas. In the recent, that was a whole of nation effort. It wasn't just the 11 females on the pitch doing, you know, great things, plus all the reserves and the coaching staff and everyone else, but it really captured that imagination, isn't it? And really, they're opportunities again to reinforce, aren't they? That, you know, there is a national aspiration, there is a national opportunity. And if we could bottle that type of, cohesion to support trade, you know, to support culture, to support whatever it is, that we can then build some momentum if we can point to things like that and say, well, that was a whole of nation effort.
And we put it in the paper as a great example of that. I think the same thing could happen with a future Olympics and understanding the way that, you know, sport, media and culture and state governments, federal government, business, you know, that they can all work together in something like this. I think that's a great one. Another one that's coming up that I think could be very interesting is if we end up co-hosting a conference of the parties of the UN climate change. We're looking at hosting that in conjunction with the Pacific. And that, again, would be a really interesting one because that covers so many parts of Australian society, you know, whether it's education, science and technology, industry, civil society, diaspora groups, so many things there. I think that could be another great way where you try to take as much as you can. I know it'll never be perfect, but you try to pull in a whole of nation approach because that makes it stronger. Mm.
Yeah, I suppose, and that's a good point, isn't it? Because, you know, sport, it's easy. You know, it's Australia competing against somebody else. And of course, we want our teams to succeed. But in issues that may be contested, it could be a little bit harder. But as you say, around something like climate change, there is, a degree of unanimity that should perhaps be captured and delivered and directed towards a particular outcome and a positive outcome. But you did mention earlier the negatives. What were some of the things that people thought that, I can't come at this because I have a priority and it may conflict, you know, with the whole of nation approach?
Yeah, so it certainly came out that it doesn't mean unanimity. You know, it doesn't mean we all agree. And I think that idea you were just talking about consensus and actually how it shifts over time, that we have a broad but incomplete and shifting national consensus on some of our objectives as a nation. Now, let's put it in those terms. And then we try to implement that. Now, it's not fixed forever. It's not like the national interest is a, you know, gold bar in a locked room in Canberra. It's something that's always going to be open for discussion and contestation, and that's healthy. So the people who expressed, I wouldn't say negatives, I was just saying concerns, saying we've got to be clear to the people in Canberra when they say whole of nation, that doesn't mean everyone in the nation agrees. It doesn't mean Canberra says what everyone in the nation should do. That's not how it works. It's understanding that diversity, those many, many connections, and using those to promote, as I say, those broadly agreed objectives. Yeah, and I was interested because I thought we might, for example, hear from the business community a very strong sense that they don't want to be told what to do by Canberra. But I actually heard something a little different. One was, okay, clearly we have our own incentives and motivations. We're going to be working on those. But within that, you know, within our desire to make a profit, we're actually genuinely interested in supporting the national interest. And we'd like to hear more about how we can do that. Now, there will be times where, you know, we can't do a particular thing, perhaps because of profit motive, fine, but we want to know the direction, we want to know what the objectives are. And I feel there has been, you know, a change in perspective, particularly with, you know, China's attempted economic coercion of Australia, where, you know, business is aware that these things are now connected. You can't just say, oh, well, we're going to do business and geopolitics don't matter. They're aware they live in this difficult, contested environment. And so having a steer, having some idea of what the objectives are, you know, being brought into that fold is something they're interested in.
Did that surprise you?
It did a bit. And I think it is quite different than it might have been a decade ago. They were strong messages we were hearing. You can't tell us what to do, but yeah, we do want to know what the national objectives are and how we can help align behind them.
Yeah, and you believe it is then driven by context, though, that they are seeing that their ambitions, their hopes, their plans, their objectives are interlinked, and this complexity that you alluded to in an earlier answer is reason for them to become more informed and better engaged about how indeed the national interest can help or hinder what they are trying to achieve.
Yeah, look, I think that was the message across the board from all of the sectors we talked to, was actually a desire for engagement. And I find that very interesting because I don't know if our public servants understand that there is that demand out there. There is a desire to understand better, to be engaged, to be part of our international objectives. It's nice to know, I suppose, that there is that very open door if people want to try and walk through it.
So you now have the microphone and you can speak directly to an audience that is made up largely of those very clever, very dedicated Australian public servants. So what message would you have, given our system of government? Canberra is always going to play a key role. The institutions inside Canberra are going to be key to delivering something like this and being, you know, able to draw together, to have that openness and to be able to encourage this, you know, whole of nation approach. So talking to them now, what would you like to say to them, and how can they contribute to an improvement in this particular endeavour?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think that interface with these range of communities, that's a precious and wonderful one. I would like to see more public servants reaching out and engaging with those other sectors. I think it has to be done in the right spirit. And so, as I say, what came through very strongly is it's not about control. And that's very different than when you're within government. You're all about control and who is able to send messages and who is able to do things. For people outside government, that's not the message. It's engagement. It's saying, what are you doing? How can it help my objectives? How can what I'm doing help your objectives? How can we connect together to help the national objectives? And so you need to start with that in mind, that it's a conversation where you have to assume everyone is well motivated, that they also do care about their country very much, but they're working in a different way, in a different culture, and you want to be very respectful of that when you're engaging. So I think there's enormous potential, and I suspect there's a lot of people who would like to be doing more of this. So yes, I think wherever you are in the system, find those opportunities to widen the group of people you're talking to, bringing more people into the room, finding the actors who aren't government, thinking outside the world you're already in, because they may have some resources that help you very much with your job.
Would you think, or would you observe, that amongst the political leadership of the country, that there is this maturing and this understanding and this notion of control is it's an illusion as much as anything else, and really it is very difficult to control, and therefore we need to move to more openness, more collaboration, because certainly the government has committed to that. Around much of its policy program, about co-design and engagement with community.
Very much so. Yeah, and it was interesting. When we launched the paper at Parliament House, first time I have seen this for a long time, it was launched jointly by the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Shadow Minister of Foreign Affairs. So very much a sort of a bipartisan approach, saying we need to lift our whole of nation thinking into action. And Minister Wong, for example, the way she put it was, I'm quoting, the premise of the whole of nation approach is that government will not stand alone at the centre of our international engagement. My message to you today is that means all of us have to step up, and that the government is committed to leading and facilitating a whole of nation endeavour. And so hearing that sort of wording from both sides of politics, it is going to take whole of nation to do our engagement with the world well. I think that can give a lot of comfort to people within the system who would like to be more involved in this, and who can see that this is very much something that has political and bipartisan support behind it.
Okay, 5 years into the future, we've now transported ourselves into the future. What's happened to make you feel like actually this is working? What's different?
Now, see, I'm an incrementalist. I just hope we're doing things a little bit better. I am a realist on this, that, there's not an end point at which we say we've got our international policy perfect. We never have to change anything again. we will always be faced with a range of huge international challenges. And if anything, they're likely to get worse in 5 years rather than better. I'm sorry, I've got to just say that. So what I hope is that we're building up our abilities and our capacity to deal with that world, a world that's not going to give us an easy ride, a world that's not going to make our jobs simple, but one where we've got to do the most we can to pursue Australia's interests. So, yeah, my vision would be that we are at least, we have accepted that as an idea, you know, that we are invested in the concept of a whole of nation approach. I would like that we have, clear objectives on where we should be heading, which encourages other elements to get behind it. And I suppose I'd like a lot of these, a lot of the non-government elements to feel more empowered, to feel more clear that they do contribute to our international engagement and that they have an important role. So that's what I'd be hoping for, not an absolute transformation, but a continual improvement in our ability to weather the challenges that the world will throw at us.
But indeed, certainly there's the requirement to keep talking about it, to make it real and to find and identify the stories where a whole-of-nation approach has delivered benefit to the community. And I'm sure that there are so many examples that people will be able to talk about. But also I think it's a good point you raise about giving people permission, not just the government, not just the public service, but more broadly that people can talk about things that they may in fact have tried to initiate and indeed have delivered for the benefit of the community. Because I see it as it's a narrative point, but it's super powerful. And if you can get it right, I think that there's something in this that could make it meaningful and then could start to change the way people think, the way people act. And if we can do that, I think to your point, it then just gives us a little bit better chance to deal with what is likely ahead of us, which is a reasonably rough ride.
I think what you said will make people, the people we talk to for the report, very happy that, you know, people are taking the idea seriously and talking about and thinking about how it could be applied.
Indeed. Well, Melissa Conley-Tyler, thank you so much for the work that you have done here. I think it's a super important piece of work, and I would commend people to go and have a read because it's beautifully put together, beautifully designed. And it's a good experience going through the document, easy to get through. And certainly there is something in this, if indeed we can pick it up collectively to deliver. So a big thanks to Melissa for joining us on today's Work with Purpose. If you want to check out, as I mentioned, the full report, it will be there. And indeed, if you'd like to follow Content Group or IPA ACT on LinkedIn, or indeed, if you have any suggestions for programs into the future, you can email events@act.ipa.org.au, or if indeed you have any questions about Work with Purpose. Work with Purpose is a collaboration between Content Group and the Institute of Public Administration of Australia, ACT, and supported by the Australian Public Service Commission. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any of your podcast catches. So listen, a rating or a review helps us to be found. And there are lots of ratings and reviews there. And a big thanks to everyone who has provided some feedback to us in the past. So a big thanks to all of you. And again, a big thanks to Melissa coming onto the program today. My name is David Pembroke. We'll be back in a fortnight with the next edition of Work with Purpose. But for the moment, it's bye for now.
Work with Purpose is a production of Content Group in partnership with the Institute of Public Administration Australia and with the support of the Australian Public Service Commission.